Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. You know, I really don't consider myself an evangelist. However, I do, with God's help, share the good news. But I consider myself, and God knows, more of a teacher of God's word, and that to God's people. That is the church. That is the people who belonged to the Lord. That is the New Testament Greek word translated church is outcalled ones. That is to those who God has chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the world. Now, there were some heavy statements that were just made. But they are part and parcel and lead in to the teaching today. And to every Sunday school student and those, my hope, who attend Christian churches have heard a familiar parable. I, in fact, have taught on it before, but am moved today to visit it again. There's some hard things said in these passages of Scripture, but to God's people, that is, the ones He chose, it is my hope it will be of much encouragement. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And it reads, "And he," that is Jesus, "began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them," King James says doctrine, the literal is, "said unto them in the teaching of him, hearken, behold." Now, here literally is how one might understand it from the Greek. Listen! You listen! You listen to this! And behold! That is, see for your own benefit. Faith cometh by hearing, listening, and that by the word of God. Listen, you, and see for your own sake or for your own benefit, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, we find this parable repeated in what's called the Synoptic Gospels, not only in Mark, but in Matthew and Luke. There's even a reference in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John to a portion of Jesus' teaching here, which comes out of Isaiah. I think Mark gives the more detailed explanation of this parable. And it goes on and says, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without or outside, all these things are done in parables. I'd like you, because we like to write in our Bibles, I'd like you to underline the words unto you, the word given, and the word no. Unto you it is given. It's not a natural trait. Who's the giver? God. What's the gift? To know. To have experienced through the gift. Not a natural trait. You ought to write that down. But unto them that are, King James says, without, we could say outside, we could say um, Ephesians 1:4, it says, accordingly, God has chosen, that is a past deed, chose by speaking with the middle voice emphasis for himself out from among those he didn't choose. Those are the outside ones, the ones God didn't choose. All these things are done in parables. Why? That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted. Now, King James says, and their sins should be forgiven. You can't find the word sins in the original Greek. The sense is their whole natural existence should be forgiven, because we, the progeny of Adam and Eve, were born out of fellowship with God, and our whole natural existence requires forgiveness. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? And Jesus wanted understanding for those who were gathered around him, for those God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. He wanted understanding and knowledge to come. And he goes on to explain. He said, the sower soweth the word, not the seed, the word. It's representative. Luke puts it in the form, the sower soweth the word of God. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. One of the Gospels says, with joy. Dr. Scott used to teach on this. And he used to say, and that because he was a great teacher. He said he was surrounded by these kinds of people who used to give him accolades. Oh, I've never heard such teaching like this before in my life. How wonderful, how great. At his death, records would indicate that during his 30-year ministry, over 60,000 people had called his faith lines, that he used to call them the faith lines, and identified themselves as wanting to be part and parcel of the ministry that God had given him. Over 60,000. And yet, he would regretfully report that on a monthly basis, less than 3,000 would identify and participate with his ministry. What is that? 5% of those who at one time with great joy testified because they had heard something that they never heard before and were excited about it, but because they had no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution, listen, arises for the word's sake. How many of you know that part of this call of God in Christ Jesus involves affliction and persecution? How many of you have been told that's part of the trip? Immediately, they were offended. Oh, I didn't sign on for this. Not me. I signed on for the good news. I signed on that I might have a wonderful life down here. That's not, folks, the promise of God. Oh, there is joy in this journey. But for the word's sake, affliction and persecution does come. I'll repeat Jesus' words. He that has ears, let him hear. And he goes on and he says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, doesn't say riches, it says the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts King James just fell in love with that word. The word means desires of other things entering in. Choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. Well, Don, is Jesus saying that we're not to have any care in this world, and that we're not to have riches? I've already addressed that. And we're not to have desires of other things? He's not saying that. But these cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires of other things entering in, they choke off. They have become priorities to many who have heard the word and those things, cares of this world. How am I going to get along today? Deceitfulness of riches. Oh, God, we got 10,000 preachers running around out here talking about God. This is the year that God ends your debt and that God is going to bless you so that you're just going to rejoice because of all the money that you thought was impossible. God's going to bless you with this year. And when it doesn't come, because what has been preached is the deceitfulness of riches, these things choke the word of God. And the word of God becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. In the 34th verse of this same fourth chapter of Mark, it says, but, and you ought to go to that verse and put a circle around that word, but. Jesus had just finished preaching other parables. He says, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. That is, to his learners. That is, to the learners of the word of God. And when they were alone, this is a busy world we live in. I can't say it any other way. Children of God, it is necessary to spend time alone with Jesus. He will expound that which is necessary that you might and I might continue in faithing, in trusting, in grabbing hold of his promises in spite of affliction, persecution, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, desires of other things. Time alone with God in his word will help keep when that word keep is used in scripture, most oftentimes it talks about guarding. Will keep the word, the promises of God as a priority in our lives. As Jesus taught, that same parable in the 8th chapter of the book of Luke, the 15th verse says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart." How many of you know that in Ezekiel 36, God says that he'll give us all a new heart, not and take away the our stony heart? And the understanding is a heart that can be touched. I'm going back again. It's not your good heart. It's the good heart God gave you. And the ears that God gave you, that having heard the word and keep it, that here we find the word guard, and bring forth fruit. King James just loves that word, patience. Cross it out. Luke 8:15. The word is endurance. These are part and parcel of the makeup of each and every child of God. If we go over to the 13th chapter of Matthew, just want to expound again a little more on this idea. The 10th verse says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered, and he said unto them, because it is given unto you. This is repeating what we went through in Mark. Not a natural trait, given by God unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Listen. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. And therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, King James says, Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with the eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Mark says, forgive them. Luke says, should save them, lest they should faith, not believe, faith, grab hold of the promises and act upon them as though they're more real than anything we might see, feel, or encounter. Not the cares of the world, not the deceitfulness of riches, not the desires of other things that might become a priority, but God's word, and be saved or healed or forgiven. Sixteenth verse of Matthew 13 says, Jesus speaking, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Many times from this teaching, we have taught that not necessarily perceived or taught properly, that third verse of Ephesians, and we could find it in other places. If you study it, you'll find that third verse says, King James says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word in the Greek is eulogesos, logos, word, the form to speak the word, eulo, you, good. And It is describing a name of God, the good speaking God. In Matthew, it says, but blessed, it's a different word. The word is makarios. It's that same word used in the fifth chapter of Matthew, known as the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. I have not found it in concordances or commentaries or lexicons. I think the greatest, I think he was a walking lexicon. That is Dr. Gene Scott. And he speaks of this word, makarios, as the capacity to receive. Well trodden, couldn't receive it. Stony, received it but had no root. Those sown with thorns, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things, choked it off. I am here affirming the word of God to his people, that is the church, to whom God has given capacity to receive his word with joy in spite of affliction and persecution and with endurance. Shall bring forth fruit unto eternity. I don't say it often, but that deserves a hallelujah. And an amen, which means no doubt. And that's the God School for today.